Hi, this is Rick Warren, and you're listening to Daily Hope. You know, many people say they don't have time for a daily quiet time in God's Word. That's just an excuse, because every person on the planet has the same 168 hours a week. The question is, how do you spend that time? Fact is, you don't have time for everything. You know that, and I know that. Nobody has time for everything. That's why you have to make time for what really counts in life. It's not a matter of time. Did you hear that? It's not a matter of time. It's a matter of priorities and value. You make time for the things that matter to you. And the key to making time for a daily devotion is to make Jesus and His kingdom the number one priority in your life. If you do that, you'll find time for a quiet time. Matthew 6, Jesus says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the other things will be given to you as well." In other words, put God first in your life and you'll have more time. Now here's an important principle you need to remember. Whatever you need more of in your life, give God first place in that area and He'll give you more of what you need. Putting God first includes putting God first in your day, putting God first in your heart, in your mind. And that means having a daily quiet time where you sit down with God and say, "God, what do you want to say to me today through your word?" So let's get started today and look into God's word for our daily hope.
Today on Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren, we continue in our series called Doing Business with God. Now in these lessons, we'll learn what it truly means to do our work as unto the Lord, and how our work can be a form of ministry to others and worship to God. Whether your work is at home, on a job site, in an office, in just a few moments, we're going to let you know how you can find significance in your occupation, allowing you to enjoy your work more than ever. How does that sound? These insights and more are part of Pastor Rick's study kit called Christians in the Workplace. And you can take a sneak peek right now by going to rickwarren.org while you listen. And if you want, you can just text the word daily to 313131. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part two of a message called Making Wise Decisions at Work.
A lot of times we're enamored with making a decision fast. We got to make it fast. We got to make it fast. We got to make it fast. Let me tell you something. Pressure is never from God. I'll say it again. Pressure. If you feel pressured to make a decision, it's never from God. Zero. Absolutely none from God. Why? Because Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come to me if you're tired and heavy laden, I will give you rest." God doesn't put more on you, more pressure on you. If you feel pressure, that's from you, it's from other people, it's from the devil, it's from culture, it could be from a lot of things, but it isn't from God. Anytime you feel pressured to make a decision, you should absolutely stop at that moment and say, "Wait a minute, why am I feeling pressure right now?" And you need to ask yourself, have I got all the facts? It's like these telemarketers who call you up and they say, "We want to sell you 1,000 acres of prime property in Arizona for a ranch. You don't even have to see it. Just send us the money." And that, you know, and they're going to pressure you to make a decision or to pressure you to go on a cruise. No, no. Any pressure like that is not of God. Sensible people are careful to stay out of trouble. Stupid people are careless and act too quickly. So the second question you want to ask when you got to make a major decision is this: what do I need to know? First, what has God said? And then second, what do I need to know and how do I find it? What do I need to know and how do I find it? And then whatever it takes, you go do that. Maybe you need to take a seminar. Go to a seminar. Maybe you need to take a class. Maybe you need to read a book, listen to some tapes or cassettes or MP3s or whatever. But you figure out, what do I need to know and how do I find it? And this is exactly what I did before starting Saddleback. Well, I knew nothing about starting a church. I'd never started a church. So I read everything I could. I studied all I could. I researched all I could. And I didn't just check the Bible. I got the facts about this area and about what it takes to grow a church. The third thing you do, the Bible says in Solomon's 8 Steps of Wisdom, is ask for advice. Ask for advice. This is the third thing you need to do if you got a major decision. See, we would rather pretend like we know it all and make a mistake then admit we don't know it all and get the advice to actually work. You need to talk to people about your decision. Now, not just anybody. Don't just talk to your best friend and say, what do you think? Oh, I think that's a great job. No, you need to talk to people who've made a similar decision. Let me say it again. Talk to people who've made the decision you're about to make. I'm going to move somewhere. I'm going to leave this job and do this. I'm going to go into consulting. Well, you better talk to somebody who's in the consulting business that you're in before you do that. It's foolish to not do that. You talk to people who are already doing what you've been doing. And number two, you talk to people, personal friends, who know your shape. And say, I need you to just level with me. Tell me, am I really shaped to do this or not? Is this me or is it not me? Proverbs 20, verse 18. Let's read this aloud together. Plans succeed through good counsel. Don't go to war without the advice of others. Now, getting advice can prevent disaster. It can save you time. It can maximize energy. You know, people say, well, it's wise to learn from experience. That's true. It's wise to learn from experience. Some things you're only going to learn by your own experience. But it's wiser to learn from the experiences of others. Life is too short for you to make all the mistakes yourself. I don't have time to learn everything from experience. So I want to learn from your experience so I don't have to go through all the pain you went through to learn that. It's wiser to learn from the experiences of others. Life is too short to learn everything by trial and error. I remember one time a number of years ago, Kay was out speaking somewhere, and it was her birthday was coming up when she got back, and I said, what would you like? She said, I'd like a German chocolate cake for my birthday. So I thought, I'm going to make her a German chocolate cake. And I didn't really realize that there were cake mixes for German chocolate cake. So I made it like from scratch, like no mix. And it took me 3.5 hours to make this cake. I called Marilyn, my neighbor, twice for advice. Am I doing this right? And Marilyn said, yeah, here's what you need. Oh, no, you don't put the eggs in at that point. And it would have been a disaster if I had tried to do it without advice. But because I called my neighbor, Marilyn, who I'm sure had made many German chocolate cakes, she knew what to do. She told me, and it came out good, and I was the big hero, and I got a cookie. So you want to say, not just what do I need to know and how to find it? You ask for advice. Proverbs 15, verse 22 says this, without advice, plans go wrong. But with many advisors, they succeed. I did this when I started this church. You know one of the things I did before I even came here? I personally wrote to every pastor who was already in the Saddleback Valley. And I asked them a series of questions. And I even gave them a self-addressed reply card and had them so they wouldn't have to spend a lot of time. It was already stamped and posted. And I asked every pastor who was already here before me about the area. What's your advice? What do you think about the community? And I was just listening to them. Why? I'm getting advice from people who had already done what I was about to do. Most people wouldn't do that. Most church planters wouldn't do that. They just go into an area and just start. They go, oh, that's a nice place. And they didn't. I asked every pastor. I got advice. And then when I got here in January 1, 1980, for 12 weeks, all I did was walk door to door and talk to people. And I took a survey. You know this famous survey. It's now thousands and thousands of other churches have done it. And I'd walk up and I'd knock on a door. And they'd open the door and I'd say, hi, my name is Rick Warren. I'm not here to sell you anything. I'm not here to invite you to anything. I'm not here to convert you. I'm just taking an opinion poll. There are no right or wrong answers, and it'll just take about 90 seconds. Can I ask you a couple questions? When I said that introduction, I didn't have a single person who say no in 12 weeks. And I had a little clipboard there, and I said, first, are you an active member of a local church? And if they said yes, I said, God bless you, keep going. And I went to the next home. Because frankly, I wasn't interested in the opinions of Christians. I said, I don't know. The goal isn't to get other people from other churches to come here. We want to go after people. We're going to build a church for the unchurched. People who've never been in church. People who hate church. And so when I find somebody say, "No, nah, I don't like church. I don't go to church." I say, "Fantastic. That's just great. You're just the kind of person I want to talk to. Let me ask you three more questions. What advice would you give to me as the pastor of a new church that wants to benefit the community? How could I help you?" And I would say, "Why do you think most people don't go to church?" Now, I could have said, "Why don't you go to church?" But that's an offensive question. I'd say, "It's none of your business." But I say, "Why do you think most people don't go to church?" 9 times out of 10, they give you their reason. And I wrote it down. And I say, "If you were looking for a church, what kind of things would you look for?" And I wrote it down. I discovered not one person said, "I'm looking for a pipe organ." Not one. Choir robes. Nobody mentioned that one. And then say, "So what advice? And then how can I help you? What's..." And I just listened and I took notes and I did that for 12 weeks. What am I doing? I'm doing a market survey. That's what I was doing. I was getting the facts and I was asking for advice. The Bible says in Proverbs 24:6, the more advice you get, the more likely you are to win. And that means even if you have to pay for it, you want to get the advice of other people.
That's Pastor Rick Warren with just a portion of today's study called The Work God Shaped You to Do from our series called Doing Business with God. If you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, just go to rickwarren.org and click on his social media links. Oh, and while you're at it, go ahead and sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. That's rickwarren.org or just text the word DAILY to 313131. Again, that's the word DAILY to 313131. The second half of today's study is coming up next.
Many people aren't excited about their work, and they may even dread it. Maybe this is because we see our work as a necessary evil or just a means to an end. But when you look at your work from God's perspective, there's so much more. Did you know your work can be a form of worship to God? The Hebrew word for work in the Old Testament also means worship and serve. It doesn't matter if you are working in the home, at a job site, or in an executive office. Your work can be a ministry that brings honor to God. Pastor Rick Warren says that you'll find real significance and meaning in any job once you've got the Lord's perspective on it. Today, when you support Daily Hope with a financial gift, Rick wants to send you his study kit called Christians in the Workplace, equipping you to live out your faith at work. This biblical look at work includes a 6-session DVD and workbook that will give you the tools you need to find purpose in your work, allowing you to enjoy your job more than ever, or maybe even for the first time. These insights and more are part of Pastor Rick's study kit called Christians in the Workplace, equipping you to live out your faith at work. And it's yours when you support this broadcast ministry with a financial gift. Just go to rickwarren.org to get your copy, or you can call 800-600-5004. And if you've got a smartphone or tablet, just text the word DAILY to 313131.
Once again, here's Rick.
The Bible says in Proverbs 24:6, the more advice you get, the more likely you are to win. That means even if you have to pay for it, you want to get the advice of other people. But as I said, one of the reasons why we don't like to ask the advice is we don't want to admit we don't know it. I have discovered, I've been around some really successful people, and I've discovered a couple things. One, the most remarkable people I've met in my life don't think they're remarkable. It's people who are small thinkers that are hung up on themselves and think they're so great. Humility and wisdom go together. And when you get humility and wisdom, you get success. It's pride and arrogance. I think I know it all. And you barge ahead without asking for advice and getting the facts and checking the Bible. So here's what you want to ask. Write this question down. Who could advise me? Who could advise me? Who has already gone where I want to go in terms of health, in terms of children, in terms of business, whatever you're dealing with, who could advise me on this who's already been there? Number four, the fourth thing that Solomon tells us to do in the book of Proverbs is set a goal. Set a goal. When you're going to make a decision, you need to set a faith goal that I'm going to do such and such by such and such a date. Now, what turns a dream into a goal? You set a date. When you put a date on a dream, it becomes a goal. And a goal is simply a statement of faith. A goal says, I believe that God wants me to do this by this time. And it's a statement of faith. And it focuses your attention and it sets your priorities. If you don't have a goal, you're not the leader. Proverbs 17:24 says this, an intelligent person aims at wise action, but a fool starts off in many directions. A fool starts off, says, you got to know your goal. And so the fourth thing you do is you say, what is my goal in making this decision? And you have a deadline. When I moved here to the Saddleback Valley in January, I said, we're going to start services in 12 weeks, whether we're ready or not. That was my faith goal. And why did I say we're going to start services in 12 weeks? Well, I didn't want us to just stay as a small group. I wanted to force us to having a goal causes you to do more quicker, but also 12 weeks was Easter. And I thought, if anybody comes to church, what's the one Sunday they come to church? They may not come back week number two, but at least I'll have some people to go visit. So I set off, and then we set a goal of 150 people at our first service. And there were about 15 of us in a little Bible study at that time, and we hand-addressed and hand-stamped 15,000 letters, the 15 of us, and mailed them out 10 days before Easter. And we thought, if a 0.5% response show up, that's 75 people, and if you got two people in the family, that's 150. So we said, our first goal is 150 people. And I'll never forget, on Easter Sunday at Laguna Hills High School, 205 people walked up that ramp for the first service of Saddleback Church. And Kay looked at me and I said, this is going to work. And I breathed a big sigh of relief. And I remember we had decided that a week earlier we were going to try a trial run service. I said, I'm going to take the 15 of us down to Laguna Hills High School and I'm going to preach to you and we're going to practice the music and everything. So next week when people show up, it makes it look like we know what we're doing. So we at least have had 1 week practice. Some people, that letter that we sent out, got it a week early, misread it, got a week early, came a week early. We had 60 people at the trial run. 5 of them gave their lives to Christ that day. I wanted to say, no, you can't get saved till next week. Please come back later. This is just practice. Sorry, you cannot go to heaven right now. You got to wait one more week. You know. The Bible says this in Proverbs 4:25-27. Look straight ahead. This is talk about goal setting. Look straight ahead. Fix your eyes on what lies before you. Have you set a goal? Mark out a straight path for your feet. Then stick to the path and stay safe. Don't get sidetracked. Now, when I started this church, I didn't know how to do this. I didn't have any, I wasn't a management expert. So I found a guy who lived up in Anaheim who had been a Pentagon planner for the U.S. Pentagon. And I said, would you help me? Here's my goal to start by Easter. Will you help me lay out everything I need to do in the next 12 weeks to get the church started? And he said, sure. So he sat down and he said, what do you need to do? And I just told him he'd write it on a card. I tell him something we need to write on a card. We think of something, we need to write that on a card. Then he got a big piece of butcher paper. It's about 8 feet long. And we tape those down there in order of, we got to do that before we do that. We got to do that before we do that. It's called a Gantt chart. And we laid it all out and we had a goal and I knew where I was going and we set a goal. This is the principle of selection. And we said, we got to do this by this date and this by this date. And here's the question you ask on a major decision. What's my goal and milestones? What's my goal and my milestones? That's the little mini steps on the way to your big goal. All right? Check the Bible, get the facts, ask for advice, then set a goal. Now, the fifth thing that Solomon tells us to do in the book of Proverbs, if you got a major decision to make, is this, very important, count the cost. That's the fifth thing you got to do in a major decision. Count the cost. This is the principle of evaluation. You figure out in advance what the decision will cost. And you're going to need a budget. And because every decision has a price tag. And you have to ask yourself, what's it going to cost in four areas? You might write these things down. What's it going to cost in time? So just time. You write that down. Time, question mark. What's it going to cost in money? Question mark. Time, money. The third one is, what's it going to cost in energy? And the fourth one is, what's it going to cost my family? My relationships. You need to know what that cost is, and you've got to count the cost. Proverbs 20:25, Solomon gives this wise advice. It is foolish and rash to make a promise to the Lord before counting the cost. Circle that, counting the cost. He says it's a trap. It's a trap to decide without deliberating. It's a trap to promise without pondering. It's a trap to make a decision without having counted the cost. That's why when people come to Saddleback and I say, are you ready to make that decision about giving your life to Christ? And they say, well, no, I'm not. I said, well, that's okay. And I always tell them this, take the time to make the right decision. I'm never in a hurry to push somebody to receive Christ. I say, take the time to make the right decision. Because I truly believe that if they're intellectually honest and they take the time to genuinely consider the facts, it's the most logical, rational, makes sense, beneficial decision you can make to get in harmony with the Creator who made me. I mean, I don't understand the logic of being out of whack with my Creator who made me.
This is Daily Hope with Rick Warren. Now, if you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, simply go to rickwarren.org or itunes.com and download the Daily Hope with Rick Warren podcast to listen again. Rick's going to be back in a moment with a final word of encouragement, so please stay with us. Now, whether you work in the home or on the job site or in an executive office, your work will become exciting when you look at it through God's perspective. That's why today, when you support Daily Hope with a financial gift, Rick wants to send you his study kit called Christians in the Workplace, equipping you to live out your faith at work. This biblical look at work and employment includes a 6-session DVD and workbook that will give you the tools you need to make your work a form of ministry and worship. This resource will help you find purpose in your work, allowing you to enjoy your job more than ever, or maybe even for the first time. How does that sound? These insights and more are part of Pastor Rick's study kit called Christians in the Workplace, equipping you to live out your faith at work, and it's yours when you support this broadcast ministry with a financial gift. Just go to rickwarren.org to get your copy, or you can call 800-600-5004. And if you've got a smartphone or tablet, just text the word daily to 313131. And now Pastor Rick with a final thought.
Have you ever made a decision based on an impression that seemed right, but ended up being a total disaster? I think every one of us can say that's very true in our lives. We can all point to incidents like that. Well, in Proverbs 28, the Bible says this, a man is foolish to trust himself, but those who use God's wisdom are safe. In other words, don't rely on your impressions. Don't rely on your gut, because most of the time an impression is simply an impression, and it can come from all kinds of things. This week, as you're faced with important decisions, here's what I want you to do. Write the decision you need to make down in a journal. And before you try to solve the problem on your own, or with just the facts and advice from others, I want you to search the Bible for God's wisdom. Say, God, speak to me. Then go back to your journal, and next to each decision you need to make, write down a Bible verse that's going to help you make that decision. You know, if you're listening to this broadcast on a regular basis, or even if this is your first time today, I'd love to hear from you. And I'd like to hear your story of how God's Word helped you this week when you wrote down a verse next to a decision. You can write to me, rick@rickwarren.org. It's real simple, rick@rickwarren.org. Now, if you missed any part of this message, you also can go to www.rickwarren.org, where you can listen to this message or any other of the Daily Hope messages online anytime. You'll also find free downloadable sermon notes, and you can also, this is most important of all, sign up for my free Daily Hope printed devotional. I hope you'll get that if you're not getting it right now. Thanks for listening today, and join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.